A Dog's Courage by W. Bruce Cameron. Read for you by Anne Marie Lee. Dedicated with love to the memory of my parents, William J. Cameron, M.D., and Monsey Cameron, I miss you both so much. Prologue. Michael Bud Butters turned up the stereo because it was playing one of his favorite country western songs, Zach Nelson singing Life is Wonderful. Bud indulged himself in a high, warbling sing-along that would have offended the musical tastes of just about anybody. Life is wonderful. That, Bud thought, summed everything up pretty well. Life was wonderful. 62 years old with a somewhat, okay, very checkered past, he was closing in on a full year of driving a Freightliner tanker truck, 231-inch wheelbase, 350-horsepower Cummins engine, 4,500-gallon capacity. Bud Butters driving a truck. For a long time, he hadn't even possessed a driver's license. And now look at him. A professional, that's what he was. With a regular job, he was making steady progress on his credit card bills, though giving up working a ranch to sit behind a steering wheel had supplied him with an uncomfortable tightness to his 54-inch waistband. That's how he registered it. His stomach was the same. It was his pants that were changing. His route today took him north along Wyoming Highway 26 up to Moran, where he would turn on 191 toward Jackson, eventually continuing south to his home in Rock Springs, some of the most beautiful mountain scenery in the world. People running gas stations were always glad to see him because he was their lifeblood. Once a man of little value to society and himself, he was now an important part of the local economy. Even better, his son Nate had recently met a gal named Angie, and she was the polar opposite of that poisonous Marna, who had told Nate he was to have nothing to do with Bud ever again. Marna refused to believe Bud had turned it around, that he was sober going on 2 years, that a man could change. Marna ate at Nate's soul like acid, turning him against his own father. Which meant Bud was cut off from his grandson, little Ian, not even Marna's kid. And that fact alone almost drove Bud back to the bottle. At least that's how it felt, a perfect excuse. What more do you need? Any man would need a drink. But that was just the seductive weakness whispering to him. He was working the program, and it works if you work it. The whisper would always be there. You just had to not engage with it. He went to meetings. He could sit and watch his friends drink until they fell off their bar stools and not touch a drop himself, though one by one his buddies had drifted out of his life, ironically made uncomfortable by Bud's choices. That was all in the rear-view mirror. Life was wonderful. The random drug and alcohol tests at work further helped keep him clean. Nate finally came to his senses, and vicious Marna was gone, kicked to the curb, good riddance. And Angie, sweetest thing on the planet, met Nate at church and stole the boy's heart with pure goodness. Angie herself had personally called Bud to meet at a truck stop down in Lander, saying Nate was too ashamed to pick up the phone. Ian, such a big boy at age 10, ran to his grandpa, and that was it. Bud had his family back. All you had to do was forgive. It was the magic formula. Good people forgave Bud. And Bud forgave everybody. Well, maybe not Marna. After completing his stops at Du Bois, Bud was taking a little side trip, headed up toward Fish Lake Mountain to visit Ian, Nate, and Ed.